For our opening passage of Scripture reading, our Old Testament passage is going to be found in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, which talks about the protection that God gives to His people, that He keeps them in the palm of His hand, and how we respond by giving thanks to God for the blessings that He has given to us. So Psalm 71. In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in Your righteousness. Turn Your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for You are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For You have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on You. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise You. I have become like a portent to many, but You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with Your praise, declaring Your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise You more and more. My mouth will tell of Your righteousness, of Your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim Your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim Your righteousness, Yours alone. Since my youth, O God, You have taught me. To this day I declare Your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare Your power to the next generation, Your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, You who have done great things. Who, O God, is like You? Though You have made me see troubles many and bitter, You will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise You with a harp for Your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to You with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to You, I whom You have redeemed. My tongue will tell of Your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. That's as far as reading from the book of Psalms. We're going to be singing these words together from 130. 130 in our Psalter hymnals. Sorry, 131 in our Psalter hymnals. It's from Psalm 71. 131, and we're going to sing 1, 2, and 5. So the first two and the last stanza of 131, standing to sing 131, 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
Since this morning we spent time considering the Holy Spirit being poured out on the church, we're continuing our morning series this evening, which is on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, continuing our consideration of the great love chapter. It's page 1114 in our Pew Bibles. It's a relatively short chapter, so we'll read it in its entirety, but our focus is going to be found in verse 7. So our focus is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Let's read the chapter together. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And here's our focus. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have considered over the recent weeks, love is a necessity when it comes to serving within the body of God's people, with serving within the church. And the church at Corinth, there was such division and strife. There was a hostility that was bubbling just under the surface. There were these factions and divisions. I like this guy better. I like this preacher better. Well, I follow Paulus. I follow Paul. We have these, their favorite pastors, and they come to the Lord's table, and there's these divisions that are taking place. The rich are going first. They're eating all the food and drinking all the wine. And those who were later, who were the working class or the poor or the servants, would have nothing to eat. There was a lack of love in that early church. So Paul is here saying it doesn't matter what you do in the church. You can be the most eloquent preacher. You can have the most stirring sermons. You can fathom all mysteries, but without love, you're nothing. You're a noisy gong. You're a clanging cymbal. If you're the most generous person and give all of your possessions to the poor, but you have not love, you gain nothing. It profits you nothing. If you dedicate yourself to some mission work and you end up being persecuted and even surrendering your body to the flames, you're burned as a martyr at the stake, but you do that service without love, it's a waste. For without love, you have nothing, you are nothing, you gain nothing. Well, today we come to verse 7, where we find the all things of love. What does love always do? What are the consistent components of Christian love. And remember, this is coming in the context of service within the church. If you still have your Bibles open, you look at chapter 12, which talks about the different parts of the body, right? So you have the hand and the foot, the eye and the mouth, the ear, all these. We're one body, the one body of Christ as a church. God makes us one body. We're knit together. But how are we to serve? How are we to consider, to view each other? So today we are going to be looking at the constant or the consistent aspects of the church. Now, the way in which our world defines love is they define love as that white hot flash in the pan, that erotic sense of love. It flares up for a moment. It's uncontrollable. People say love is something that happens to you like being struck by lightning. You can't control it, and it can easily happen to you, and it can easily unhappen. You can fall into love, and you can fall out of love. But today we are going to see that's not true love. That's not Christian love. Because a Christian love is a consistent, even flame. It's like comparing the usefulness of pouring gasoline onto the fire and a charcoal fire. Perhaps you saw in the news this past week, there was somebody who was playing a prank and they threw a bottle of gasoline into a bonfire. And there was something like 15 people were injured because of this gasoline explosion. Gasoline thrown onto the fire is dangerous. It may be big, it may be spectacular, but it's not all that useful. It flares up and then dies out. It destroys. But true Christian love is like a charcoal fire. It's consistent. It's useful for warming and cooking. It's helpful and it's steady. It can be depended upon. Today we are going to see that Jesus Christ reveals the need for consistent, steadfast love within the church. And we're going to be looking particularly at verse 7. And with these various, these four points in our sermon, when we look at the all things of love, just for one example, it says love always protects. You can translate this in two ways. It does this always, or it does it in all situations. It bears all things, but it bears always. So that both of those aspects, it is a consistent thing, and it applies to all things. So, like I said, it can be translated in two different ways. So love bears all things, or love always bears. So we're going to be looking at each of these points. With this division and pride and arrogance found in the early New Testament church, and which is a constant temptation for all of us as human beings, to think that we are somehow better than other people. We don't have the patience that we need to have when it comes to living with fellow sinners in the context of the church. Jesus Christ comes to us today and reveals the need for consistency, a steadfastness when it comes to lovingly serving within the church. To begin then, we start with the first aspect of verse 7. Love always bears, or the translation here in the NIV is it always protects. So the word here to bear, literally to bear, means to cover, to protect, or to hide. The imagery is given of a roof that provides a shelter. That protects those who find shelter under its shade. 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says this, love covers over a multitude of sins. When it comes to serving within the church, we are to cover each other, to protect each other, to bear long with each other, and to bear the burdens of one another. To protect each other in the sense of, if you hear a fellow member of the church gossiping or slandering someone who is a part of your body, when you see someone who is attacking, biting, and backbiting someone who is your own flesh and blood, love protects. Love defends. Love covers over, it protects and cares. Love refuses to throw in the towel, because small offenses are not worth mentioning. Love is willing to take the hit and to overlook the wrong. Now, a love that protects doesn't mean that love hides sins that need to be exposed. No, we need to follow Matthew 18 that talks about there's a specific way of dealing with sin. But even in following the steps of Matthew 18, what is the first step? The first step in seeing someone who is committing a sin or living in sin is to go to them individually and privately, not to go behind their back slandering and gossiping, but for the sake of their good, you're protecting their soul. And you go to them and you speak to them. Bearing with others teaches us to love long and to deal privately when others fall in temptation. Bearing with one another means that you will be slow to speak and quick to listen, slow to anger and long in patience. As I said before, there's two ways to translate every aspect. So not only is it protecting in all situations, it protects all kinds of people. Love bears all sorts of different people. Everyone is welcomed within your family. Even if you look differently or talk differently or have different gifts and abilities or interests or backgrounds, an all-bearing love is a love that says, you may be different than me on the outside, but on the inside we have a united heart, a Christian unity that goes deeper and is broader and is more enduring than any external difference that you and I may have. All-bearing love is love that forgives 77 times 7. It is long in suffering, keeping no records of wrong. Even when confronted by other people, all-bearing love receives correction and refuses to become unjustly angry. Within the church, we have to be willing to suffer the annoyances of being united to fellow sinners. Patient when even people mistreat us or hurt us. Learning in the church, in the family of Christ, to turn the other cheek. As 1 Peter 2 verse 24 tells us, Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree. Jesus Christ carried our sins and sheltered us as his people under his loving outstretched arm. He was like that mother hen that extended his arm to provide shelter and shade, giving protection to his loving chicks, drawing them close to his breast. That's what Jesus Christ does. He protects. He cares for. He bears us on eagle's wings, carrying us like his loving children, patient with us and carrying our burdens. Therefore, knowing the kind of love that is so long-suffering, patient, enduring, and bearing with the infirmities of others, how shall we now bear always with one another? Now, children, let's say that you have Grandma and Grandpa coming over to visit your house, and you see Grandma and Grandpa roll up in their car, and they pop the trunk, and you have these heavy suitcases in the back, and you know your Grandma and Grandpa are tired, they're weary from their journey. A bearing love is a love that goes out there and takes those suitcases and brings them into the house so that they don't have to carry them. That's what it means to be a part of the family of Christ. You see the burdens that one another, that the family of Christ is carrying. They're heavy laden. What can we do? What can I do to help carry the burdens so that other people can know the kind of refreshing rain and joy that God delights to give to us as his people? Galatians 6 verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So true love is a consistent, long-suffering, bearing all things kind of love. It is not intermediate, it is not haphazard, and it doesn't choose when to be active. Yes, people can be inconsiderate, but bearing love sticks with them. But love not only bears all things, it, secondly, believes all things. We know what the word believes means. Believing means to have a confident dependence in it. But what does it mean that we believe all things? Well, in believing all things, Jesus is not here commending a naive kind of love. True love is not naive, nor is it gullible. Rather, we are to be as innocent as dove and shrewd as snakes. We are not small children that believe everything they hear. We are to be innocent and wise, discerning what is true and false. But in believing all things, we believe all things that are true. We believe all things that are trustworthy. We know that God has revealed the truth in His Word, and His promises are reliable, even though we may not see them coming to fulfillment in our eyes. A love that believes all things is a love that believes everything God has revealed in His Word, trusting that they find their yes and their amen in Jesus Christ. We know, as 1 John 1 says, that He is faithful and just and will do everything that He has promised. And even though it may be hard to accept some of the things that are promised, they may be, to our eyes, slow in coming true. We believe God and trust in His Word. As Romans 8 says, all things are worked together for the good of those who love Him that are called according to His purpose. Believing these promises means that although I may not see it, it may not be immediately evident, I trust God and I trust in His Word. But once again, remembering the context, believing all things means not only believing everything God has revealed in His Word, everything God has said is trustworthy and reliable. Believing all things is applied to one another within the church. We are called to believe all things good about one another, to believe what others say, putting their words in the best possible light. True love refuses to become the cynic, to become the constant skeptic. True love does not grow slack in trusting and depending on other people. Sometimes living with other people, we can grow cold, hard-hearted. We become pragmatic. We no longer trust and believe each other in the church. We've been burned once, shame on you. Burned twice, shame on me. We stop believing in each other. But a love that believes always is a love that acknowledges that God is able to do and is continuing to do great things in the hearts and lives of His people. True love does not hold back, but is always willing to go and to trust. We have kindness in our verdict of one another, trying to put their words in the best light. True love always believes and believes always to the very end, not suspicious of fellow believers, but long in love. And then love also hopes all things. To hope is to have a confident expectation in the future. We have hope for the future because we know God is faithful and His promises are true. We have hope for the future because God will hear and continues to answer our prayers. Romans 8 verse 24 says, hope that is seen is not hope. We hope for what is unseen. We have to wait for it with patience. But here again, hope applied to the church is what Paul is saying here. Hope applied to people. We must not lose, as we saw in the previous point, we must not lose and give up hope in other people. We must resist the temptation to lose a sense of hopefulness, because hope is necessary to make us vulnerable to be ready to put stock into the words of others. Sometimes we simply give up on each other, thinking that this other person can't be changed. They are beyond all hope. One of the reasons why we see marriages fall into great despair and people even fall into great despair is because they lose hope. Without hope, everything becomes dark and gloomy. We start to think, my marriage or my walk with Christ will never get better. There is no hope. But true love reminds itself, hope is not based on what I can do or what this other person can do in and of themselves. Hope is based on the power of God. True love always hopes. It is confident in the expectation of better things for my fellow believer and better things for me as well. Because His Spirit is not finished working, and He will continue to work in my heart, in my church, in my family, and in my fellow brothers and sisters. True love is a love that always hopes, that hopes in all things. And finally, true love endures. To endure is to patiently wait while suffering and to stand firm in the midst of trial. This word endure is usually used in the context of battle. When a soldier is assaulted by an enemy, to endure is to stand firm and to repel the attack. True love is a love that stands firm under attack. It is not spineless, it engages. It is consistent as a soldier of the cross. True love fights for the brothers and sisters in Christ, willing to go to the line for those who are part of their family. True love does not seek the way that is the most expedient. It does not run from the fight, but it faces the problems head on. Enduring persecution, willing to carry their chains and to bear their cross. True love endures always and endures all things. True love endures things like persecution, rejection, being snubbed and dismissed. It's easy when you have conflict within the church to avoid the member with whom you have conflict. Instead of seeking restoration and resolution, we simply ignore the problem. But God's people are committed to a love that endures and seeks to work together, finding hope in the fact that Christ has given us His perfect love. As Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 verse 10, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. True love learns from the example of Jonah. What Jonah did was fail to endure in his love. When he was called to love the Ninevites, he ran away. Even though it would have been difficult, it would have been hard, he resisted. True love does not run away. When you seem to lose hope, when it appears that everything is lost, true love endures. It keeps on going. Just one example of how true love and enduring love can be evident within the church is just think of church discipline. When sins are exposed, when there is a confrontation that takes place, what true love must do is endure on both sides. An enduring love on the side of the elders means that they're doing the hard work. They're going back. It's not easy. It's hard. It's hard to stick it out. And if you are the recipient of discipline, then you stick it out and you bring it to its good end. Enduring and remaining, endurance is a patience and a courage, seeing that there is meaning and purpose even in the midst of hardship. Now, if you will, as I said before, there are connections between these. There's particularly connection between the first and the last and the middle two. Right? So the bearing love, the consistent love, and the enduring love are directly connected. But if we would maybe put it this way, in the first point, the bearing love the love that bears all things, is a love that endures the inconsiderate and inconsistencies within the local church. Now, in our fourth point, the enduring kind of love is a love that stands up under persecution and trials, which are very difficult and are the tip of the sword. True love seeks reconciliation. True love stands firm. It endures always, even to the old age. That's why we read from Psalm 71. And enduring love is a love that lasts. It stands the test of time and remains to the end. To conclude, by nature, we are infected with our world's definition of love. The world's definition of love is based completely on feelings, is not consistent, and it doesn't stand the test of time. It's like gasoline. It flares up and it's gone. If you don't feel it, give up, move on. A true love is a love that burns consistently, evenly, and is steadfast to the very end. Carrying others' burdens, being patient with them, and to think best of those whom God has placed in our congregation. It's easy to give up when times get hard. It's easy to just throw in the towel and say, this isn't worth it. But that's not love. In the Christian marriage, throwing in the towel because it's hard, it's not the answer. That's not true love. True love sticks it out and works. So it is in the church. True love for your brothers and sisters means you stick it out, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. We want to be carried on the shoulders of others, but true love seeks to carry the burdens of others. This is the kind of love that Jesus Christ showed us. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says this, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame." What enabled Jesus to endure the cross? What enabled Jesus to look at his bickering, unknowing disciples who are trying to elbow each other for the best seat to sit on the throne at his right and left hand, who are thinking of earthly glory and earthly riches and earthly power? What enabled Jesus to look down the halls of history and to see you and me and to still love us? It's this kind of true, enduring, bearing love. To bear our sins on the cross. What would enable Jesus to bear our sins on the cross and to never give up, even when it came to drinking the cup of God's wrath to the very last drop? It's love that bears and endures. Perfect love that moved him to walk on, to continue bearing, hoping, enduring, believing until the very end. The love of Jesus never quit, and it doesn't quit today. He will never forsake his bride because he loves us. So may we, as his church, as fellow brothers and sisters, never forsake one another. Matthew 10 says, "Those that endure to the end will be saved." Or Romans 12, verse 12. "Therefore, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and remain steadfast in prayer." So these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is an enduring love, a bearing love, a hoping love, and a believing love. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this calling, this reminder that true love is consistent and enduring. We thank you that Jesus Christ proved this perfect love, that he showed it to us when he bore our sins and endured the cross, that he was moved by love, a consistent love. May we, O Lord, as your people, as your church, love one another with this kind of love that Christ has shown us. In his name we pray. Amen.